This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg in studio with Director of Radio Bill Thomas, who recently judged the North Dakota Poetry Out Loud presentation. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Yes, I was one of several judges, and it was quite an experience just paying that close attention to these students reciting poems from memory.
And we've had a couple segments on this, so I'll be brief. It's students from across the state who have practiced poems that they're allowed to choose from a book, something more ancient, something more recent. They recite them from memory. They get judged. Then they go on to a national competition.
You got it.
All right. Well, we should hear one. We have, what do we got?
Cassandra Rothfett. She's from Northwood High School, and this is... You know, you mentioned, and I realized, a lot of these students pick a little bit dark poems sometimes.
So anyway, angst, man.
Yeah, this is Dead Butterfly, she'll say.
Dead Butterfly by Ellen Bass. For months, my daughter carried a dead monarch in a quart mason jar. To and from school in her backpack, to her only friend's house. At the dinner table, it sat like a guest alongside the pot roast. She took it to bed, propped by her pillow. Was it the year her brother was born? Was this her own too fragile baby that had lived so briefly in its glass world? Or the year she refused to go to her father's house? Was this the holding her breath girl she became there? This plump child in her rolled down socks, I sometimes wanted to haul back inside me and carry safe again. What was her fierce commitment? I never understood. We just lived with the dead winged thing, as part of her, as part of us, weightless in its heavy jar.
Oh, wow. You can say so much without using the words, you know, referencing what this child actually was probably dealing with.
Yes.
Like a stillborn or a... you know, an infant death in her own family.
And this is where you hear the students study these poems.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear that.
Yeah. You have an interview with a fellow judge, Shanane Tangney. She is a retired English professor from Minot State University. And this was her first year judging the Poetry Out Loud competition.
So this is your first time at Poetry Out Loud. You're being a judge, which means you have to pay intense attention to every recitation. And you've seen people do poetry before, I'm certain. But how does this event strike you?
This is a great event. I love any event where we can hear poetry out loud the way it should be. The students are so earnest and talented, and they're giving it their all. And I'm just really having a good time. I'm delighted to be here.
Do you see certain patterns or kind of things to look for in the readings that interest you?
Well, I like poetry sort of straight up and not over-dramatized. And I think the students are doing a really good job with that. They seem to be very clear as to the poem's meaning and delivering it in a genuine, honest way. And that really pleases me, not acting it or gussying it up in some way.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people think of this when they hear about it. They think, oh, it's like a poetry slam, and the poetry slams tend to be extremely expressive.
Yeah, and this is, you know, the students are reading the work of other poets, not their own. So that can be a little tricky. You know, you don't live inside the other writer's mind and know exactly what that poet had intended. But I think that's what I mean by they seem to be smart readers and have a good sense of the poem's meaning and just give it a straightforward, genuine delivery, not all the emoting that seems to happen at poetry slams.
Part of the process for the students, I think, is figuring out somebody else's poem.
Yeah, and I was interested when we got all our, you know, judges' materials, what the criteria are, to see that understanding the meaning of the poem is one of the criteria. And again, I'm really impressed with the level of intellect of these high school kids.
Were there any particular moments that jumped out at you in the readings, that ones that you were like, wow, that was great?
Well, yeah, I did. I noticed myself, and, you know, I'm not going to spoil, give away who I think is winning because we haven't got to the finals yet, but noticed myself sort of sitting up straighter or cocking my head, being really captured by four or five of the readers here today.
Yeah. Well, and coincidentally, there are five finalists to be chosen, so.
I did not know that.
You know, it's an effort for the schools to do this, and they have to squeeze it in. We know that there's so many curriculum requirements on the high schools, and they've got to somehow shoehorn poetry in like this, too.
Yeah, kudos to all the teachers who coach the students, obviously work with the students in understanding, reciting, performing, having a stage presence, working on the quality of their voice and their delivery. Yeah, I can't congratulate the teachers who participate in this enough. Good for them.
You know, she brings up a good point, and that was Shanine Tagney. She is a retired English professor from Minot State University, and she is a first-time judge at Poetry Out Loud. And talking about the students and the teachers, of course, the state winner goes on to the national competition.
Correct.
Is there any kind of recognition for the teachers, even just like a round of applause, good
job?
Oh,
yeah. Okay. They get a lot of recognition at the event,
okay.
And I know a lot of appreciation from the Arts Council.
All right.
Now, the next one, it's read by Katie Meester, and she's from Valley City High. And this is a poem that I've seen chosen a few years in a row. It's a strange mixture of light and dark.
Requests for Toy Piano by Tony Hoagland. Play the one about the family of the ducks, where the ducks go down to the river and one of them thinks the water will be cold. But then they jump in anyway, and like it, and splash around. No, I must play the one about the nervous man from Palestine, in row 14, with a brown bag in his lap in which a gun is hidden in a sandwich. Play the one about the handsome man and woman standing on the steps of her apartment, and how the darkness and her perfume and the beating of their hearts conjoin to make them feel like leaping from the edge of chance. No, I should play the one about the hard rectangle of the credit card hidden in the man's back pocket, and how the woman spent an hour plucking out her brows, and how her perfume was made from the destruction of 100 flowers. Then play the one about the flower industry, in which the migrant workers curse their own infected hands from tossing sheaves of roses and carnations into the back of the refrigerated trucks. No, I must play the one about the single yellow daffodil standing on my kitchen table, whose cut stem draws the water upwards so the plant is flushed with the conviction that the water has been sent to find and to raise it up from somewhere so deep inside the earth, not even flowers can remember.
Kind of hopeful ending, I guess.
There was a lot in that one.
Well, listen to this next one. This is sort of a nature poem, except it also has great sardonic comment on human nature as well as animal nature. This is Jacob Clout, who's from Beulah High.
Eagle Plain by Robert Francis. The American eagle is not aware he is the American eagle. He is never tempted to look modest. When orators advertise the American eagle's virtues, the American eagle is not listening. This is his virtue. He is somewhere else. He is mountains away. But even if he were near, he would never make an audience. The American eagle never says he will serve if drafted. will dutifully serve, etc. He is not at our service. If we have honored him, we have honored one who unequivocally honors himself by overlooking us. He does not know the meaning of magnificent. Perhaps we do not altogether either, who cannot touch him.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
Huh?
Yeah.
Short, it's a lot in there.
We are the ones who have to infuse everything with, you know, some kind of meaning, and these animals are just being.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, birds.
All right. Well, this next one is also a very short and punchy one it's almost like a punchline, but it's not a joke. This is Gabby Oberg from Washburn.
Prince by Joseph Bruschak. Seeing photos of ancestors a century past is like looking at your own fingerprints. Circles and lines you can't recognize until someone else with a stranger's eye looks close and says, "That's you."
Yeah, you can hear them clapping. Joseph Bruschak, by the way, is a Native American poet. Mm. So knowing that makes that different, too.
Do you judge a poem a little differently? Like, obviously, that one was read in just 34 seconds, but this one about toy piano, it took more than 2 minutes. Do you have to kind of figure out how to judge not just the poem, but the recitation of the poem when they're very different styles?
Right, and they actually changed the criteria where it used to be you kind of got extra credit for doing a longer poem. Mm. And they changed that a couple of years ago. And they said, don't give them points for just going long. I mean, it's good if they did a longer one and they memorized it well. That's great. But
it isn't necessarily better or stronger.
Right.
Okay. Well, what else do we have?
Another, this one's kind of a dark one, too. And this is by a high school student from Windmere. I really liked her readings, Alexandra Pitts.
The Albatross by Kate Bass. When I know you are coming home, I put on this necklace. Glass beads on a silken thread. A blue that used to match my eyes. I like to think I am remembering you. I like to think you don't forget. The necklace lies heavy on my skin. It clatters when I reach down to lift my screaming child. I swing her, roll her in my arms until she forgets. The beads glitter in the flicker of a TV set as I sit her on my lap and wish away the afternoon. I wait until I hear a gate latch lift, the turn of key and lock. I sit amongst toys and unwashed clothes. I sit as she fingers the beads until you speak. In a voice that no longer seems familiar, only strange. I turn as our child tugs at the string. I hear a snap and a sound like falling rain.
And Alexandra was one of the state winners alongside Katie, who you heard do the toy piano, and Cassandra, who did the first poem of this segment, The Dead Butterfly. Maria Kolb from St. Mary's Central went on to win to the state competition. We have one more poem for today.
Yes, and this is by Kylie, also a winner.
Then and Now by Tom Clark. Then it was always for now, later for later. And then years of now passed, and it grew later and later. Trapped in the shrinking chocolate box, the confused sardine was unhappy. It leapt and banged its head again. And afterward they said, "Shall we repeat the experiment?" And it said, "Later for that."
Wow. That was Bill Thomas sharing selections from the Poetry Out Loud competition recently held in Bismarck. Thanks, Bill.
We should say thanks to the North Dakota Council on the Arts, National Endowment for the Arts, and the Poetry Foundation.